Yes, he is life and salvation. Concordia Seminary exists for the express purpose of helping to train people for effective ministry. Some of us are in the throes of learning the basic points of Greek and Hebrew grammar. And others of us are further advanced in our study and preparation for full-time ministry. And so others are here to pursue advanced studies in theology, and probably in most cases are still in some form of ministry before coming to this summer term. The Apostle Paul has much to say to all of us about ministry and your and my attitude toward ministry in the lecture just read a few minutes ago. Why Paul wrote this letter is most important to remember. As we look at the church, we note that it was found in Corinth. Corinth was a bustling metropolis of somewhere over 500,000 people, it is thought, of whom half, maybe somewhat more, were slaves. And these slaves were tremendously important in the vast slaveholding activity in this city, which was the crossroads of the empire. Corinth was a melting pot, and in a sense it was the cesspool of the ancient world. Corinth was not known for intellectual prowess, but rather for the great desire to have his attention tickled by the dramatic, however empty it might be. And a hallmark of the church of Corinth was its cookiesness. It had its call party, its Apollos party, its Peter party, yes, also even a Christ party, whatever that might have been. And Paul had dealt very firmly with these problems as Christ's apostle to this church in his first letter. And as you read it, and some of you are studying at the present time, you will notice that it's a very modern catalog of problems, as anyone in ministry can tell us. It presents the world then, and it's so apropos to our world today. Christ had summoned Paul to be his apostle to the ministering world. Paul had founded the church of Corinth. Paul was responsible for the church of Corinth. He saw in his first letter to the Corinthians, he gave some very firm, kind but firm guidance to these misguided people of Corinth. He had to also remind them, because there were those who wished to whittle him down to their own size, that he was Christ's apostle, that he was there because Christ had sent him, that Christ had used him mightily through his instrumentality, that they may be brought to faith, that they might be nourished in faith. In fact, Paul says it, in a sense, they are his spiritual children. He doesn't say this in any way to flatter his ego, to polish his ego, but to underline to them his role as one who was the called apostle of Jesus Christ. It was Paul's most earnest desire that his first letter would bring his detractors to their knees, that they would listen and hear again that Paul was the called apostle of Jesus Christ, that they might repent of their sins. But Titus had just returned from Corinth, had found Paul somewhere in Macedonia, and brought the sad news that there were those who would not listen to the apostle Paul. Before this morning, our text is taken from that letter, which Paul wrote to seek to underline to the issue pastors the error of their ways. Listen to the first few verses of 2 Corinthians 6. Paul writes, "As men who are working with God, we plead with you, don't let God's love be wasted on you. He says, when the time comes to be kind, I will answer you. When the time comes to serve, I will help you. You know, now is the time when he welcomes us. Now is the time when he saves us." I think it's kind of important as you hear this and as you read 2 Corinthians to note that Paul does not order them. He cannot, and he does not order them to accept him and to follow his guidance. But he pleads with them that God's grace should not be wasted on them as far as they were concerned. Christ had died for all. That was and is a certain fact. And Paul reminds them in this chapter that these disciples had been led by him to the power of God's Spirit working through the Word, and that they had been led by him to become members of the church at Corinth, that they had received God's gracious offer of forgiveness, that they were part of the circle of believers at Corinth. And Paul stresses to them that they were sinning against God and against him by what they were saying and doing against him. Paul's great concern is that in their empty arrogance, they would not burn God's grace. And in so doing, he quotes that beautiful but urgent plea as taken from the prophet Isaiah in the 49th chapter. And then Paul goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, and following what you heard before, Paul writes, "You're not in any way finding or giving people a reason to turn away, to keep them from finding fault with our work. Instead, we are in everything showing where God's good virtues by great endurance in suffering, in need, and in hardship." So we need to remember that for Paul, the ministry of the gospel was all important. His personal claim, his acceptance, to him mattered very little. And you and I need to think about that very thing. Paul's constant concern during the 30 years of his ministry was always for the purity of the gospel which he shared. And he was concerned that in no way that he, by his person, by his words, by his actions, would in any way change that wonderful meaning of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Paul was much concerned that the purity and the wealth of the gospel recently and persuasively shared wherever he might be. He so in this letter, as you heard in the closing verses of our text here, that we're bearing his very soul. He seeks in this way to help these people to return to a humble faith relationship with Christ and to a humble attitude of against him who Christ has sent to be his apostle to them. And you heard in the lesson before to what great length Paul would go in order in his great zeal for the gospel, for the purity and the wealth and the treasure of the gospel. This is the word of God for us today. You and I stand in the presence of God. And we need to keep in mind that God does not look at the superficial, as men so often do, at that which may gather attention. But God looks at the heart and judges on the basis of what he sees in the heart. And so we ask ourselves this morning, what kind of servants are we? How well do we use the opportunities that God has given us? How faithful are we in discharging our responsibilities? How much are we concerned about the gospel rather than me and my cooking, my acclaim, my following, my reputation? Is Christ all in our lives and in our ministry, in serving him with our total self? And further, as you and I think about this, and we do so in the presence of God alone, we are deeply conscious of the sins and shortcomings that are characteristic also of us. And we are so very grateful for God's forgiving grace and the sustaining power of his Spirit, especially as this morning we approach his table to receive the certain pledge of the forgiveness of our sins. We pray that God will always give us a deep sense of gratitude at the privilege, please find us a privilege, of serving him in his kingdom. To give us a seal like the Apostle Paul, to serve faithfully and to share the gospel winsomely in all its truth and purity. May this characterize your and my ministry at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.